Okay then, folks, we're going to... I'm a bit worried here, actually, because Roy just moved the table saying, we better move this in case I decide to get a bit energetic. So what are we... You're going to break dance as part of your preaching this morning, right? All right, there you go.
If I break more than dance, so...
Okay, well, it's great to have Roy come and share with us this morning, and I wanted this month to sort of be doing some things where we've got to think a little bit deeper about some things, and I know Roy is somebody who likes to think deeply about stuff, so I thought it'd be great to sort of invite Roy to come, and I think he's going to speak to us this morning about guidance and things around that. Let's just pray for him, shall we? And Father, thank you for Roy, Lord, and thank you for his love for you, his passion for the kingdom, and his love of your word. And I pray this morning, Lord Jesus, that you'll speak to us through him as he shares. Amen.
When Paul first asked me to speak, he said, I want you to talk about a tough subject. Great, thanks. And first thing I immediately thought of, let's talk about sense of humour, because everybody thinks the Bible's boring, don't they? There's so many good bits in there, but eventually, life got in the way. About 6 weeks ago at my workplace, they decided they were making redundancies, and I was one of the people that was at risk of redundancy. And that has a way of changing what you're thinking about quite a lot. So suddenly I'm in a position of, I've got to write my CV and send it out to people. It's horrible. I had to go to the interviews. I had to put a suit and tie on. I mean, that's just not me at all. I think Paul's only seen me in a shirt and tie about once, isn't it? No. But I started to wonder, well, how do I know which choices to make? How am I doing the right thing? I went to 4 job interviews. I actually got 3 job offers out of it, and I survived the redundancy process. So I had 4 things to choose between. How do I know what's the right thing to do? How do I know what to choose? Because the more I look in the Bible, it doesn't tell me which job I should take out of those. There's nothing in there that really says that's the company to work for directly. How do we know? So that's what I'm going to think about. But first of all, let's have a bit of fun. I need a volunteer. I need somebody who is able to follow instructions. So all the kids put their hands down. Daniela, thank you. This is always good because, you see, when I work with the children, they all put their hands up before they know what they're doing. You lot are a bit older and wiser. You don't do that. I've already primed some of my young helpers at the back. They are going to hide 2 treasures around the room, and you've got to find it. That's nice and easy, isn't it? However, all of you are going to have to join in and shout instructions to Daniela because, see, there are times when we know what's going on, when we don't know what's going on. There are times when we get advice. Is it good advice? Is it bad advice? Do we know? How do you feel, Danielle, to have all the voices telling you what to do and you can't see a thing? And it's even crueler when somebody moves the target and they don't know that it's gone. John chapter 10. I'm reading it out of the Message version because I think it gives a little different emphasis. Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good, a sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him and the sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he gets them out, he leads them, and they follow because they're familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice. They'll scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. Jesus told this simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about, so he tried again. Every preacher's nightmare. I'll be explicit, he told them. I'm the gate for the sheep. All those others, they're up to no good. Sheep stealers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm come so they may have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. As other versions put it, life in all its fullness. Before we start talking about how we understand God, a couple of things that are very important. First of all, remember, God wants the very best for you. He wants you to have life in all its fullness. He doesn't want to steal and destroy. He doesn't want to give you the rotten things in life. He doesn't tell you there's a pile of chocolates in one side of the room and they're actually on the other. God wants the very best for you. He wants you to have life in all its fullness. Romans 5 verse 8, which most of us probably know. While we were dead in our sins, Christ died for us. That's how committed God is to doing the best for you. Before you knew him, he went out and did everything to get you the best life possible. The thief comes to steal and destroy. I have come that you may have life, and life in all its fullness. If you're going to follow God, that's what he wants for you. The other thing that comes out of John 10 is we need to know his voice. I've got a dog. My dog is stupid, like most dogs. But she knows my voice. When I say things, she sometimes does them. Occasionally. But there are certain key words that I'll say, like food, and she's very happy to follow, come to me. But if other people say them, she doesn't respond. She knows my voice. She listens to what I say. Even sometimes when Alexandra says things, she doesn't listen. How do you get to know someone's voice? How do we learn how to talk about things? The other thing is that, how do we pick out the right voice? When Danielle is walking around, people shouting all sorts of things. How do you know which one's right, which ones are wrong? Should I turn right, should I turn left, should I go, ah? How do we listen in all that confusion? If I do that exercise with a group of children, the shouting gets louder and louder and louder and louder as they all try and be heard. And they all try and find the right crystal, the chocolate they want. Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes when we're struggling and we're rushing to make decisions, we've actually got to stop. It's very hard sometimes to step back and go, I've got to listen. We all have this tendency that we want to dive in, grab as much information as possible. We want to do things. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes just stopping. Not make that decision for a second. Think. Let God speak. So easy to rush. So, how do we get to know someone's voice? As I said at the start, I went through a redundancy process. I ended up with four options. Tomorrow I'm starting a brand new job. I've got a whole bunch of people that I don't know that I've got to go and work with tomorrow. They all know each other. They've all worked together for a while. I'm the new boy that's going to go in. There's an office. I don't even know where the toilets are. How am I going to get to know people? How can I learn what's going on? I've got to join in. I've got to talk to people. I've got to listen to them. I've got to ask questions. When people tell me things, I've got to try and remember them. I'm going to get barraged with names tomorrow, and I'm terrible with names. The amount of strategies I've managed to come up with over the years for not using people's names is brilliant. It's even better with you, with kids, because they're changing all the time. They've got different names they want to use. I've got to try and remember them all. It's not fair. How do we get to know God's voice? How do we know the voice of the shepherd that wants to guide us? It's the same thing. You've got to listen. You've got to spend time. You've got to do the things he's doing. If I want to make friends with somebody and I've got nothing in common with them, that doesn't work. If I want to spend time with God and learn what he wants for me, I've got to try and find the things that he's telling me about, the things he's interested in about me, which is quite good because it's me he's interested in. And that's the one topic most of us like talking about. And God wants you to talk about you as well. He wants to spend time hearing what you're thinking, what you're talking about, because he wants to talk to you about it as well. How do we know the shepherd's voice? Spend time with him. Listen. Don't run away. Don't be distracted. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes instructions are easy to follow. Sometimes they're not. They were very simple instructions, but people found it difficult at times. I don't know if people were just watching what my hands were doing, but I told them the instructions, listen to my voice. We get caught up on the things that aren't important sometimes. It says, they know my voice, but so easy to get distracted by other things. Isaiah chapter 30. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and truth is your strength. But you will have none of it. You said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you all will flee away. To your left, like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. People of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That voice, that verse has been one that I learned a long time ago. What always worries me is what it doesn't say there. If I'm walking in the right paths, God doesn't need to tell me anything. If I go off the path, he tells me I'm going wrong. If you turn to the left or the right, there'll be a voice behind you saying, that's the way, walk in it. A lot of the time we're so desperate for reassurance when we're doing the right things. But if we're doing the right things, God doesn't actually need to remind us that we're doing the right thing. It's great when we get acknowledged for doing the right things. I'm sure Henry will attest to that now. He knows how good it feels when somebody says, you've done something great. But actually, a lot of the time, God will go, you're doing the right things. Well done. Keep going. And that's all you need. That's all there will be. There won't be bright flashing lights. There won't be the Damascus Road, because the Damascus Road only happened because Paul was doing the wrong things. It does worry me sometimes when you hear of all these people that are continually hearing God's guidance. Is that because they're doing the wrong thing all the time? I'm sure it isn't. But this verse to me has always said, if I'm walking the right paths, God doesn't need to challenge me on it. However, we do need to be attentive to God's voice. As we've just demonstrated, it's really easy to not listen to the voice. It's really easy to get caught up with the other things and miss that voice that's going, that's the way, go in it. Last week in our group, we were talking a bit about somebody hiding in a mountain and there being fire, earthquakes and winds, and God wasn't there. He was a still small voice. How many of us would get distracted by the earthquake, the wind and the fire and miss the still small voice? My sheep know my voice. Be still and know that I am God. I guess the other question that comes up is there only one right way of doing things? Because a lot of the times you hear, that's the only way for your life. That's the perfect way God's got planned out for you. Well, I'm kind of sure that I went off that track a long time ago, because I'm sure I haven't done everything exactly the way God wanted me to. Which, to my mind, says, actually, no. God's bigger than that. He doesn't have one perfect path that I must follow and everything, and that's the only way that it can be. Think about the story of Joseph. Joseph's brothers got in the way of what was happening. They threw him in a well. They thought about killing him. Was that really 100% the only path Joseph could have ever taken? It's what happened. But in my mind, I can't get around the fact that God can cope with us making mistakes. A lot of the time, we're so concerned with we've got to be the very best. We've got to get everything perfect. And yeah, that's good. But actually, God's bigger than that. Don't make God so small that you're scared of doing the wrong thing. God is a great God. God's a big God. He wants the very best for you. He wants you to be doing the right things. He'll tell you when you're going wrong, but he can recover if you do go wrong. While we were dead in our sins, Christ died for us. If we got everything right, he wouldn't have ever had to do that. He knows we're not going to be perfect, but he's got a plan. When I first moved to Haverhill years ago, then I had a choice again. I had two job offers then. Did I make the right choice? What would have happened if I had taken the other job offer down in Bicester? I don't know. Can I say one was better than the other? I don't know. But God makes things right. So I don't know what would have happened if I'd have taken a different job offer all those years ago. I know I probably wouldn't have been here now, but where would I have been? It doesn't matter. I am here now. The path I'm walking is this one. Matthew chapter 6. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap. They don't store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than them? Can any one of you add one more day, one single hour to your life by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of those. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Every day has enough troubles of its own. I have absolutely no idea what tomorrow is going to hold for me. New job, new people. I don't know what's going to happen. But that's tomorrow. Standing in front of you today, I've got enough worries today to not worry about tomorrow. God knows tomorrow's coming. He knows what you need for tomorrow. And that's tomorrow's problem. Today is today's problem. And he knows what you need for today as well. And he knows what's coming down in a week's time. He knows it all. You see, God is good. He doesn't give us more than we can deal with. He doesn't tell us what's going to happen 20 years down the line, because then we'll spend the next 20 years thinking about that. He lets us deal with life one day at a time. Yes, he does give us visions and promises and prophecies of what's happening. But he wants us to live today. I am come that you may have life, and life in all its fullness. If you spend all your time worrying about what's happening in 20 years, you miss what God's doing today. That passage I read earlier from Isaiah chapter 30. The chapter actually starts, "Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit." At the time, Israel was looking to Egypt to protect it from another attacker. They weren't trusting God. They were trusting in what they perceived to be their strength or an ally they could lean on. God says, woe to you if all you're going to do is lean on your own strength. If you try and do everything on your own, That's not God's way. But also, if we don't do it God's way, we're the ones that are in trouble. We're the ones that are going to suffer from it. God says, if you trust on your own way, you don't do what my spirit wants, you're cutting me out. I can't step in and help you. Which means all I've got is myself. And that's not the place I really want to be. I've got the choice. I've got a great God in heaven who wants the best for me, or I can do it on my own. It's the same choice we all have all the time. Do we want to listen to what we think, or do we want to hear what God thinks? Do we want to choose God's way or our way? Sometimes it'll be the same thing. We've got in tune with God, and we're actually, what we want is what God wants. But sometimes God wants to nudge us out of our comfort zone and say, move, do it my way, please. And that's when it gets difficult. We need to know his voice. We need to understand what he wants. We need to remember he's a great God who wants the very best for us. How can we be sure? As Paul said last week in James, the letter of James, if any of you lack wisdom, then we haven't got this interactive thing going really well yet, have we? If any of you lack wisdom, then ask. If you want to know what God wants for you, then if you want to understand, is it really from God, then okay. Now, I don't think of God as some person that's miles away who doesn't want to have anything to do with me. He's intimately connected to me. He wants the very best for me. Do you think if I ask him something, he's going to ignore me? If any of you lack wisdom, if any of you don't understand what God wants, if any of you really need to sit here God's word on something, then it carries on in James chapter 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. It's easy to trust human wisdom. The Israelites were looking to Egypt to save them because Egypt had a strong army and a mighty Pharaoh. That's not the way God sees the world. When the Jews were looking for their Messiah, they wanted a warrior to come in and throw the Romans out. That's not what God's wisdom was. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. The more you read in the Bible, the more you see that the things that God values are not necessarily the same things the world values. But best of all, God doesn't leave us alone to do it. John chapter 14, towards the end of Jesus' ministry. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Not me, but this is what Jesus has said to you. You don't have to remember everything I say. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. We're not in this on our own. If any of you lacks wisdom, then ask God. But he's already given an answer. He's already said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And he will remind you of everything you've previously heard about me. He will teach you new things. He's got good things for you. You're not on your own. We know also about the fruit of the Spirit. If we've got the Spirit in us, we've got the fruit of the Spirit. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, humility, self-control. With all those things growing in our lives, with learning to listen to God, learning his voice, learning how he wants to talk to us, learning to separate his voice from the noise, being still and spending time with him, we learn that tomorrow is just another day. Tomorrow's got enough worries, but that's tomorrow. And tomorrow we won't be on our own either. My peace I leave with you, not as the world leaves it, but my peace. When I chose which job I was going to go for, it actually felt an easy choice. I was calm about it. I didn't worry about it at all. Yeah, it's a new job tomorrow. So what? I'll turn up. I'll get to know some people. I've got peace about it. And that's what God gives us in turn when we're looking at big decisions. When we make the choice that's okay, with, that's in line with God's will, we've got peace about it. He gives us that guarantee. He gives us that confidence. Okay, I'm going to be in a building with 200 people I've never met. Well, I've met a few of them when I was interviewed, but I've not met them before. But I'm not on my own. God's going with me. There's someone there I can talk to about it all. So tomorrow will be fine. Yeah, on the journey in, I might worry about it if there's too much traffic and I might be a bit... So what? That's tomorrow. Today's today. Let me enjoy today. Let me have fun today. God wants me to enjoy my life. Tomorrow, yeah, that's tomorrow. If you turn to the left or the right, I'll let you know you're going wrong. But I'll give you peace when you're walking in the right paths. A lot of us here have already made most of the big decisions in our lives, but there are some people that haven't. If you're making a choice, be still and know that I am God, and let his peace show you that you have not turned to the left or the right.